on this episode of Rebel Spirit Radio.
And so this leads us to a very real way of considering that what if some of the biggest ailments that we're facing in today's world, the mental health crisis, you know, this, we're in essentially an epidemic of anxiety and depression right now. The rates are insane. I think it's 40% of our population is facing one of those at any given time. So what if those diseases aren't really diseases on their own? What if they're actually symptoms of a disease that is the lack of spirituality in our lives? Because we are in a spiritual drought. We used to have spirituality built into our society in many, many levels. You know, we lived in tribal communities or intergenerational households where we were around people and support all the time. We were connected to, you know, the energies of our ancestors or spirits. And then eventually that evolved into organized religion where everybody was going to church every week and they'd get their kind of spiritual cup filled. All of these ways that we used to be connected to something greater largely have fallen away in our current society.
Welcome to Rebel Spirit Radio, exploring the frontiers of spirituality, consciousness, the esoteric, and humanity's sacred relationship with a living earth.
I'm your host, Nick Mather, and in this episode, I am joined by Grace Emmons, a certified transformation coach, energy healer, CEO of Forward with Grace, and founder of Topanga Canyon Oasis. Grace discusses her unique approach to coaching, which integrates bioengineering, clinical psychology, and spirituality. She emphasizes the importance of understanding the science behind spiritual experiences and the role of spiritual practices in mental health. Also, please be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use to listen to or view podcasts. Your support is truly appreciated. Grace Emmons is a certified transformation coach through Columbia University, energy healer, CEO of Forward with Grace, and founder of Topanga Canyon Oasis. Her unique methodology blends her background in bioengineering. She has a BS in bioengineering from the University of Southern California. Psychology, she holds a MA in clinical psychology from Columbia University, and spirituality. She is a Reiki master teacher, empowering high achievers to thrive in their careers, relationships, finances, and health by breaking free from toxic patterns. Through her approach, Grace's clients unleash their innate potential, discover balance and fulfillment, connect with themselves in new, powerful ways, and achieve their biggest goals with ease. Her expertise has been trusted by over 150 leading companies, including Unilever, Revolve. I wasn't sure about this one. Liquid 4?
Oh, Liquid IV.
Liquid IV. Okay.
Yeah.
sorry about that.
It's okay.
Dermalogica, SoulCycle, and Talkspace. So sorry for the interruption in the bio there. But Grace, welcome to Rebel Spirit Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you. You sound like you do a lot of interesting work, and you are blending several things that don't necessarily seem to blend often with, you know, the transformational coaching and psychology. I guess the psychology works there, but bioengineering. So it seems like you've got this blend of transformation and psychology and science. And I was wondering, how does all of that work together to help people?
Yeah, definitely. So I think my background in biomedical engineering, it gave me a very unique foundation to then ultimately end up moving into the space of being a healer and a coach. I can't say there are a lot of us out here with the background that I have. And so for me, when I had my, you can call it a spiritual awakening, I had a very profound altered state of consciousness experience, expanded state of consciousness. You could call it a mystical experience in a Reiki session. I was fascinated by what I had experienced. And I instantly had this knowing, this feeling of, oh, I'm meant to find out what's going on here. And me being the science nerd I am, I wanted to understand through data, through research, through, you know, understanding like the science behind and what was actually happening I experienced something, felt in my body, in my heart, in my soul. But how do we describe that on the physical level? So I took that as very much a mission to that would end up directing the next several years of my life, bringing me through first spiritual self-study. I studied Reiki up to the highest levels. I studied astrology under renowned Deborah Silverman. I studied Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. And then I ultimately went back to school to get a master's in clinical psychology to figure out how to put all of this into the context of what Western medicine understands about health and well-being. And I blend all of that into what I do, my work I do with my clients now. I think it's not necessarily that we are doing engineering on their biological system, right, but the fact that I can speak to the science behind everything we're doing and the impacts it's having on the body. For many people, that helps, those that would otherwise be skeptical, be open to something that they haven't experienced yet.
Okay, thank you for that. As you started speaking, I was like, oh yeah, that's what I should have done. I should have asked about your journey from bioengineering
Oh,
to
it's
this.
all good.
So thank you. Thank
Yeah.
you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like most people. Oh, yeah.
No, no, you go.
I was just going to say, like most people, I think so many people in this space, I underwent a powerful transformation myself that then
Yeah.
awoke in me the passion to help others that had been through what I had.
Yeah. Now you incorporate, and I had this because it was on your website, that you do include, the esoteric teachings, and Kabbalah and the astrology and whatnot. Was that something that you had been interested in before, or is it something that you came to after this sort of awakening?
Yeah, great question. I grew up in a household with a Jewish father and a Christian mother. So I was grew up with Judaism as part of my life, but also learned about the Christian beliefs and went to church. I mean, it was a very modern household in that way. And it was really amazing because my parents always taught us, they said, we're going to teach you about our religions, but we can't tell you what you are. We can't tell you if you're a Jew or a Christian. Only you can decide that for yourself, right? You have your own personal connection to God. And so for me, it was in my spiritual awakening that it really reawoke and lit up a flame that I had kind of let die out. I really hadn't been taking care of my spiritual well-being as a young adult in a highly successful career. I was in management consulting, flying around the country, kind of having this high-powered career that was very successful on the outside in a lot of ways that people tell us we're meant to be successful. And I, along that way, let my spiritual flame die out. And I didn't realize it until it was lit again. So it was very fascinating for me after I had this experience I had in a Reiki session. I can talk a little bit more about that if you want.
Sure.
I, a brush with the transcendent, an altered state of conscious, an elevated state of consciousness, an experience of oneness. I began to be so curious and I dove into this world of spiritual study and I was seeking answers and understanding of what I had been through. And I came across some podcast and somebody was talking about, yes, it was On Being with Krista Tippett. And she interviewed a rabbi. I wish I had it handy to remember his name. And I thought, Lawrence Kushner. Could that be it?
That sounds
no,
very
that doesn't sound
familiar.
right. Okay, maybe that's right. I think I just came across it again recently, but it was so eye-opening to me. I heard the way that he was talking about Kabbalah and it felt like it was connecting back, kind of like these echoes of what I had grown up with in Judaism, but then suddenly it was bringing it to this total alignment with everything I was learning in the spiritual studies, in the Eastern sciences, and kind of I suddenly found like, oh, wait, I can find this deep mystic spirituality and mysticism within Judaism. I don't have to look outside. So that was kind of the story there. And I think astrology was something I was always interested in, but these things kind of awoke in me. Like I've always been, in awe of the universe around me and the stars and the moon. And when I began to learn astrology, it began to really just remind me of who I really was and my authentic self, which was so essential on my path. So Yeah, a lot of different modalities
Yeah.
and maybe not those that are always woven together, but I found that learning about these, learning these multi-dimensional modalities of energy healing, Reiki, the spiritual laws of the universe and mysticism and Kabbalah and, astrology and kind of the blueprint of the soul, if you will, really learning about that, all of those all at the same time allowed me this broad understanding. It was like each one was validating the other, and it was really telling a story of this hidden truth about how the world really works, who we really are, what we're really meant to do in this amazing way that inspired me so much, that I eventually wanted to turn around and teach others.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. I'm curious, and I'm trying to think the best way to ask this question is, when people seek out help from you, when they look you up, and maybe they have, like anxieties, they have work problems, or they feel maybe a kind of a disconnect or something like that. I don't know. I imagine people come to you for a variety of reasons. How is it that you, because I think some people will say, yeah, but the spiritual aspect of it is not necessarily what we need to fix, but you noted on your website that strengthening the spiritual core is crucial. And I was wondering if you could speak to that in terms of how you are helping others. We've got, sort of the things that you're using, but what's the importance of focusing on that spiritual aspect?
Definitely. So there's a lot of ways to think about this. And, some energetic healers and coaches will talk about the fact that our spiritual body would actually be the closest to source, right? Of like our soul coming into manifestation in this life, in this world, is really our spiritual energy, our spiritual body. And then we manifest into the mental, and then we manifest into the emotional body, and then we manifest into the physical body. So we can think of really any issue has a root back in that spiritual core. But I also like to offer a more scientific way of thinking about this. So in my master's program, studying under Dr. Lisa Miller, who is a pioneer in the space of spirituality and psychology, she found some very compelling research that, they were trying to understand like how spirituality fits into our mental health and our overall well-being, right? And so they were running fMRI scans of people's brains, and they ran them for people that, noted that they identified as spiritual, those that didn't. They had all sorts of, taking all sorts of data about it. And they accidentally came across the most interesting finding. They were doing other research as well. This was part of like a bigger study. And some of the research they were looking at fMRI scans of people that were suffering from anxiety and depression. And what they ended up finding was that the brains of the people with anxiety and depression were thin in the exact same places as the brains of the spiritual people were thick. And so this leads us to a very real way of considering that what if some of the biggest ailments that we're facing in today's world, the mental health crisis, we're in essentially an epidemic of anxiety and depression right now. The rates are insane. I think it's 40% of our population is facing one of those at any given time. So what if those diseases aren't really diseases on their own? What if they're actually symptoms of a disease that is the lack of spirituality in our lives? Because we are in a spiritual drought. We used to have spirituality built into our society in many, many levels. We lived in tribal communities or intergenerational households where we were around people and support all the time. We were connected to, the energies of our ancestors or spirits. And then eventually that evolved into organized religion where everybody was going to church every week and they'd get their kind of spiritual cup filled. All of these ways that we used to be connected to something greater largely have fallen away in our current society. So I think we're leaving people spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty. And I do think that that is the root cause of so much of our suffering. So it is essential that we go back to the spiritual core and see about how we can strengthen that and the downstream effects to our mental, emotional, and even physical well-being. I mean, are fascinating. And I've seen real examples of that, you know, in plenty of clients. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah. Well, and it was interesting because I
or
just
seen
read.
Examples. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all we have to do is look around. Like you said, it is an epidemic. And I just read a statistic the other day, and it was in for one of the classes I'm teaching, where worldwide, it's like 1 in 5 people experience anxiety or some kind of depression. And like you said, I think the number for America was much higher, somewhere around 40%. And when you were speaking, one of the things that occurred to me, especially when you mentioned depression, was in shamanic traditions, they often refer to that as soul loss. You know, and it's like, in some ways, it seems like what's happened is we've lost touch with our soul.
Absolutely. You know, we can conceptualize this many different ways, but I think about it as, you know, we have our soul and we have our ego. And when our ego takes over and grows too, like when we operate for too long and just the ego, and we're kind of filling that bucket, if you will, it eventually drains that soul bucket. And if we do that for so long, we truly do disconnect from our soul. You know, you can think of it as people use the term of, you know, your inner light, and what happens to a candle if you like cover it up fully, it snuffs out. And I picture the ego like a shell around us, this like crusty shell that is trying to protect us, but ultimately ends up suffocating us if we're not careful. And when you said that, it also reminded me of, have you ever seen the Pixar movie Soul?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A couple times. It was
Isn't it so
amazing.
cute? I feel like when I watched that, I just felt like I was seeing a depiction of everything that I knew to be true in the cutest, sweetest way. But I think they do a great job of showing that, you know, disconnect, the lost souls that are, you know, like how they make them that like billowy cloud of like smoke, right? So yes, I totally agree. And we're suffering from that in today's society because we no longer have the ways to cultivate the soul built into our day to day. And people are finding that only by essentially hitting some sort of rock bottom and then realizing that spirituality is the answer and then going on their healing journey. Really, the next level would be if we could learn what we need to do to cultivate the soul of our children off the bat, right? Rather than programming them to be living in that ego mind all the time. If we could do more to cultivate their soul along the way, maybe we wouldn't deal with this that we're dealing with today.
Yeah, maybe. I am deeply concerned about our education system, speaking as someone who's been in higher education for 30 years now. And I know that we need to fix it, but it seems like we need to start it young. And maybe having that soul base there might be part of it. But I kind of want to take a step back, and I'm going to sort of put you on the spot here a little bit, because there's part of me, I also have a background in philosophy in also in religious studies. And because of that, I'm always asking, you know, well, what does this mean? And so we've been talking about spirituality, and I thought it might be important to say what that means. What does spirituality mean to you?
Yeah, there's a few different ways to define it. Spirituality to me means connection to myself at the deepest level, the truest version of me, and connection to something so much greater than myself, which for me, I conceptualize as God being, you know, the fabric of the entire universe, right? So it's knowing of the self and that is greater than the self. But it's important to call out that spirituality is not religion. I've seen people connect and sort of find a way to cultivate spiritually with that being, you know, that's something greater than themselves. It doesn't have to be God in the traditional monotheistic way that we think of a man up in the sky looking down at us. It could be a connection to nature, to the cosmos, to all of the universe, right? It can be a connection even to your ancestors and you know, those that came before us, or connection to a community that is centered around a common good purpose, right? So I think that's a nice definition that allows people to kind of tap in whatever way feels authentic and real for them.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a great definition. Thank you. Sorry to put you on the spot about it, but
oh, it's
I
all
thought
good.
I thought it was important. And it's interesting because right now in the United States, we're seeing this major transformation where people are just running away from organized religion. And the fastest growing demographic are the people who identify as spiritual, but not religious.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And that's because of all of the problems that have come with organized religion. And that's speaking, you know, this is what I was speaking about earlier, about the ways that we used to, like, it used to be maybe 30 years ago or more. I don't know at what point it really started to fall away, but maybe 30, 50 years ago, everybody had a house of worship they were going to weekly. That was just part of day-to-day life in America. And so you would be getting a little dose of spirituality through your religion. Now, because of the problems with organized religion, we're at this very interesting turning point right now where it's really truly systems are being broken down. You know, the organized religion has this like patriarchal flavor of an authority figure who's telling you that they are the mediator between you and God. And so for you to be religious, you have to listen to them and you have to follow these rules. Now, spirituality can exist, you know, next to that. It's like almost a divine feminine, divine masculine relationship. They were meant to both exist in the church together. But a lot of people began to feel they weren't truly receiving the spiritual side and really, you know, feeling connected and feeling hearts full in those places of worship. I've had clients that are, you know, top executives at tech companies who had profound, you know, you are kind of coming back around to their own reconnecting spiritually in their own way because they were gay and they didn't feel accepted within the church. And so something that was such a big part of their lives, they felt they had to, you know, totally walk away from, and that they weren't free and safe to be there. And then they didn't know where to cultivate spirituality. So that's something that I help some of my clients with. And yeah, but we're seeing this breaking down of these systems that are no longer serving. They have, you know, these issues of kind of abuses of power, and all of these problems with that hierarchical structure are causing it to kind of be burned down, if you will. And now we have an opportunity to see what's going to replace it. And really, there's some very interesting, are you familiar at all with the concept of spiral dynamics? Have you heard of this concept?
I've heard of spiral dynamics. I can't explain it, but I've heard it. So tell
so
me,
it's
what is
really
it?
interesting. Yeah, it's a really interesting model to think about kind of these big themes and trends happening in the world and in societies. So it's a psycho-spiritual developmental human development model. The book Spiral Dynamics by Beck and Cohen, I think it was written back in like the 50s or 60s. It's kind of old school, been around for a long time, but it describes the evolution of consciousness through this spiral structure, right? So this idea that we are growing and we're evolving and we're improving, but we also go through a bit of, if you think about it, the spiral has kind of that pendulum energy, right? Of going from like a right to a left as we ascend. And so it's very amazing. I mean, it's such a cool system to learn about because you can apply it to the individual. We can look at how an individual human moves through these stages in their life, but you can also apply it to, you know, a company, organizational structure, to a society, to a country, to the entire world. And they have sort of these levels of, you know, what's kind of the way of being, they call them memes, but meaning like a description of the essence of something. And anyway, so there's, like when I think about the fall of organized religion, I think about us falling out of or kind of rising up from one of those levels to the next, because at some point, you know, we grow out of where we're at, and
Right.
we have an opportunity to move on. And so, you know, I think the new age movement is very interesting, that it's kind of coming at this time. But really what it's doing in many ways is connecting us back to ancient wisdoms, to tribal, you know, talk about shamanic healing, energy healing. It's sort of, in many ways, reminds me of some of the actual really early stages on that spiral. But we're going to see it reinvented in a new way, in a way that's more serving of us and the consciousness of the collective right now.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I did some studying of the New Age movement, and I've talked to people who are part of the New Age movement. And I think I used to, but it seems to me, because as you were speaking, just something kind of clicked, because we don't actually hear that term very much anymore. And I think there's a lot of resistance to people, you know, that people will say, you know, no, that's not me. I'm not New Age. But what I was thinking about was this phrase that Terence McKenna used a lot. And it was, for him, it wasn't a New Age, but it was a archaic revival. So when you talked about going back to these things, that's when it came up. It came into my mind, because it seems like that's kind of what's going on. And I don't think that the two, you know, New Age and archaic revival are necessarily in opposition to each other. And maybe the sense that I'm getting is that we're kind of moving beyond New Age, and I think maybe incorporating those old things.
Yeah, one way to think about it is, I think you would love the spiral dynamics idea, just based off our conversation already and the way I can tell your mind works. So maybe check it out at some point. But they actually show that there's everything up until now, we've really been operating in this first tier. So think about it as kind of like the world and time up until now. And then they, you know, kind of hypothesize, well, there's a whole second tier that we're going to rise into, and we can't fully understand what's there, but we have glimpses of it. So they do things like talk about, okay, this next tier that we're rising into, it would be more connected of like us as individuals realizing that we are really just part of a total web of everything, you know, and like kind of these things that we're brushing upon. You know, I mentioned the concept of having a deep spiritual awakening experience, which was really an elevation of consciousness. What I understand I did was I touched some of these higher consciousness levels. I experienced them briefly. I'm not saying I walk around every day as some, you know, enlightened being above everyone else, but I'm saying I've tasted that. You know, they say at the highest levels we can imagine, it is that total oneness. It is, think about, they use that term Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness, this level of consciousness that's so beyond what we are in day to day as humans, but that we can just barely brush and understand and conceptualize what it would be like to be in total love, total connection, total oneness, right? So yeah, and then it's cool because they show that sort of as you get out of the first tier and move into second tier, in a lot of ways the levels are repeating but evolved. So everything about the ancient tribal archaic ways of connecting with spirits and with the earth and with nature and with one another, we are seeing that revival, as you said, or kind of played out again, but now in a new way, right? And kind of like the level one of this new whole chapter that will be.
Yeah. And we can't stay in that state. You know, we're not going to get anything done if we're there. And it always reminds me of the Zen saying, you know, what do you do before enlightenment? Chop wood, carry water. What do you do after enlightenment? Chop wood, carry water. You know, the dishes aren't going to wash themselves. You know, we still have to be part of the world and, you know, hopefully bring something back to the world that we can then share with everyone. So I'm curious, when someone comes to work with you, what is the process? Can you talk about the process that you might lead them through?
Yeah. So for my one-on-one private clients, I do these healing and coaching containers that are a very intimate container of transformation. I work with people that are maybe at a big life transition point, crossroads, or maybe stepping into an exciting new chapter or ready to leave a chapter, right? These big kind of transition points. And we always start with, I mean, certainly, you know, visioning and sort of tapping into what their goals are. But we very quickly dive into self-exploration and self-mastery. And I look at things like their astrology, natal astrology chart, and we'll pull up their human design, chart. And I have them do a character strengths and virtues quiz. So we're kind of like getting this sense of who they are, their makeup, their design, their inner psyche, if you will. And we use that as the foundation and the starting point because we can't move forward into something without first getting clear on our foundation. And there's so much information there for us of like a blueprint, right? Of who you're meant to be, how you're meant to lead in the world, what you're meant to do. And it can be so inspiring and affirming and empowering for people when we start there, because they might have an inkling of something that they're kind of calling in or something that they want to do or a way they want to be. And sometimes we question ourselves. It's almost like, well, I don't know, who am I to do that? Or I don't know, I kind of had this idea, but I don't really know if it's good enough. And like sometimes when we start to dig into who they are and who they came into this world to be, because we are all unique beings, we all have something to offer, we all have gifts to share. It's amazing to see how they really open up and they say, oh yeah, wait, I do deserve this. Oh, it makes sense why I want this. Right? Or, oh my gosh, this is inspiring me on how I want to lead. And then we do a lot of work to amplify their inner guidance system. So you can call that intuition, you can call that inner knowing, but all of the work I do is about helping somebody turn up the volume on their own inner voice and turn down the noise, the external noise, so that they can navigate themselves. I'm not in the business of directing people through their lives. I want to empower someone to learn how to be self-directed and to feel certain about the steps they're taking and the life they're creating. And then finally, embodiment and just practicing and becoming the version of them that they want to be, the version of them that achieves the goal that they set, or, steps into like who is the version of them in that next chapter? They become them through support. So it's really beautiful to get to kind of walk in sometimes a little confused or uncertain or going through something and literally walk out like a new person. I don't want to say better version of themselves, but maybe more evolved version of themselves, right? We're all continuously evolving, but this can be a way of sort of catalyzing that faster, which we need every once in a while.
Would you say that it is them being more true to themselves?
Absolutely. I think we return to that truth and then we envision what it looks like to be even more true in the next phase. So, absolutely. Yeah, authenticity, waking up someone's true self, that is what it's all about. Yes.
Well, and I'm kind of curious in the sense of what I personally see a lot happening is that there are people that have a lot of people aren't happy with what they do, and it's what they're doing in the world is not nourishing their souls, and is part of this process helping people either find what nourishes their souls or giving them the courage to follow what nourishes their souls.
Yes, both. It depends on when, who, it depends on what they come in, how far along the process they are coming in. I mean, I've worked with people who that's very much it. They're kind of wanting to make a big career leap and they want support in sort of mapping out what that should be in more alignment, right? Or to be more purposeful, to be something they're more passionate about. But it's also possible to stay in the career you're in and also have that goal and fulfill the goal in terms of injecting more meaning into your life. It's so funny in America, you talked about that like people don't like what they're doing and then they're not spiritually fulfilled. Purpose and passion and fulfillment, they don't have to come from your job. You can get those things other places, but in America especially and in this capitalist society, we spend so much of our time working and we assign all our value to the work we do and our careers and the jobs that it's really hard to like have any space for enough of the hobbies to like fill you up. But I think in a different type of society, things could be very different. And actually, I am very excited. Well, the dawn of AI that we're on, that we're in and experiencing, and this is going to go so quick. I can't imagine what is going to be happening in the next few years. But one thing that I do know is that we have the opportunity now more than ever for people to begin to follow their passions. And soon, all of those boring, like data entry, checkout counter, like the jobs that people hate that are like sucking our souls. Guess what? Humans aren't even going to be doing those in a few years. It's all going to be done by computers. So I actually think there's a bigger change on the horizon where, it can be our job and our purpose even more to open into our creativity, our passions, like following that and thinking like, what would I do that I would just enjoy? I mean, we're on the brink of a future that would potentially actually allow us to do that. Now it would take some other things, and now I'm getting a little bit political, but not intentionally, but like it would take, if we taxed all of the AI companies that use AI and then use that money to give everybody universal base income, we could truly live, free lives of just doing those things we enjoy and those things that fill us up and those things that fill us up spiritually. So that's kind of my utopian version of where we could head, but there's obviously a lot of questions of how that's going to work out.
I think there's so much that we just don't know. And I see the promise in AI. I'm not a person who bashes it that much. I've used it and it's been helpful, but I also see some of the negative aspects of it as well. With students in particular, it's a whole thing and it bothers me, but I get classes of, I think they're fake students. And the only answer I get is that it's like some kind of financial aid scam. And you can tell because, like in online classes, their discussions, although they're worded differently, they always follow the same pattern. And I was just doing this morning. I was going through grading and just writing down names. And it's like two-thirds of the class. And it's like,
No.
yeah, that's it. Yeah. And it's like, this isn't how we're supposed to be using AI. I only mention that in the sense that there are always going to be some challenges. And I think that there are always going to be some good things. I like the vision of us being able to tap into our creativity because that's something that I think has been missing. And to me, that is a major component of what it means to be spiritual and what spirituality is that generative creative aspect to us that we often, like you noted, we just don't have the time.
I mean, think about what makes us human versus the computer. I
Yeah.
mean, they might have the same knowledge and intelligence in that way, analytical mind, logical mind, but as humans, we have creative power, we have emotional intelligence, we
Yeah.
have the spiritual connectedness, right? Like these are what, this is literally what differentiates us as humans versus machines. And so I do th see that as the machines catch up in the knowledge and intellect, I potentially humans will be invited finally to lean back into the more human aspects of being human, which for a long time we sort of shut down and like put away because
Yeah.
it, didn't make enough money. Maybe now we'll finally get to enjoy. I mean, we could really finally enjoy like the convenience of so many things being able to be automated and like anyway, but we'll
Yeah.
see if that happens. Or we
Yeah.
get enslaved by the machines. It's one or the other.
Yeah. I don't know that they would enslave us, but I do think it's interesting that with all the concerns of AI, that one of the possible outcomes, a potential outcome, is our own freedom. We don't really think about that. We like the scary Terminator stuff too much, I think.
But it's like, think about it. If they're really going to have robots that are doing your dishes and that are driving you around and whatever. Like, think about how much time we gain back
Right.
and this that we feel is so lost. Like, we feel like we're so, oh, it's struggling to keep up with everything and life's so busy. And what if you could just outsource a lot of that, those day-to-day tasks? Like, we gain back that free time, right? So yeah, absolutely. That's crazy about your class though. Oh my gosh. Or just, is it every, or is it just 2/3 of the students are using, you know, chat GPT or whatever to come up with their responses?
No, it's been an ongoing thing where first it was, they just called them student bots and they were just fake student accounts. And I was able to catch it for a couple of different ways. One was, I was teaching online at Pasadena City College, and I noticed that there were all these students that had addresses way outside of Pasadena. And it's not unheard of, but you don't get that many. But then there was one, their address was Colorado Boulevard. And Colorado Boulevard is the main street through Pasadena. That's the street that the Rose Bowl parade goes on. That's the street that the college is on. And I'm like, there are no houses on Colorado Boulevard. And I looked up the address and it was a gas station. So someone was just So we had that. And then I noticed, like, you would see a batch of students, like 25 students all enrolling within 2 minutes of each other, and they would all have the same degree listed. And it's like, this is fake. So the schools have combated that, but now you get these other students and there's someone behind them, and the schools is like, well, these are just bad actors. And I'm like, I think there's more than just bad actors there. So we've got people who, yeah, maybe they are bad actors who are trying to use AI to scam things. But we need to figure out how to use AI to free ourselves, I think. And like you said, there's a meme I've seen that's like, you know, I don't want AI to create my art. I want AI to wash my dishes so I can create my art. You know.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That sums up exactly. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Well, you know, interesting times. We see where we end up with all of this. So I'm curious if you could talk a little bit. I know we'll have some other points here. Your coaching service is Forward with Grace, right? But you also
that's my consultancy.
Okay, your consultancy. Okay, thank you. But you also have a retreat center, right? The Topanga Canyon Oasis. And I was wondering if maybe you could talk a little bit about that. I found that a little bit intriguing.
Yeah. Yes. So I had this vision several years back that just as I was actually training in Reiki and before I even made like the big career jump and was really doing it, I used to say, oh, I have this vision that someday in another life would just be a Reiki master and I would live in Topanga and I would have people come out to work with me and, you know, I'd have my home studio and I would be like hosting people and they would be having a, you know, healing retreat. And I just had this whole vision. And it's funny because when I said it, just as most dreams are, it feels a million miles away. Like I literally thought, oh, in another lifetime, like I'll reincarnate and I'll do this, you know? And then, but that was before I had mastered manifestation to the extent that I now know that I have the capacity, because it was actually only, you know, several years later that that began to become very real. When my husband and I first bought our house in Topanga, we bought a multifamily property that had a little guest house. And so, you know, we put it up on Airbnb and we would host people out that wanted to get out of the city and be in nature. And I offered, you know, Reiki healing sessions and people could kind of book and have this experience. And that was the first iteration. And then it grew, you know, we had the opportunity a couple years after to purchase the land next to us. And so that really then opened up for the next level of this, our intimate retreat space. So we can sleep 6 people, but we host a lot of events during the day. It's an outdoor venue space. We have like a yurt tent and some partial enclosure stuff, but we host a lot of day retreats, you know, being just in LA. Topanga Canyon. Have you ever been here? You're in Pasadena. So
Well, I'm in Denver. I lived in Pasadena. I've been there. I live in Denver now. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Okay. It's quite beautiful.
So yes, if you're from, it's so, you know, it feels like you're a million miles away from LA, but you're really 15 minutes north of Santa Monica. So it's this like magical little place. So it's been so lovely because, you know, we have like all of LA market to kind of support, but it's a really accessible, you know, we've hosted like half day retreats that people can come out, you know, on a Friday without having to like take their whole weekend even. So that's been just such a beautiful manifestation to have created. And yeah, and the property is very special. The land that we bought, it was so, there's so much magic and just like healing energy in this. It's just so special in the canyon. You know, they said actually it's on ancient Tongva land, and they said that these used to be like the sacred parts of the Tongva tribe. You know, people would, they would have like there's kind of sacred land center for the spiritual activities. Like that was Topanga, and you feel it, you feel the energy. So it's been so special. And yeah, so that's my other business. So I have Forward with Grace, where I consult leaders and their companies to, I mean, all the transformational coaching that we talked about, but I also work with corporate clients and do leadership development, team building, and corporate wellness. And then Topanga Canyon Oasis is our intentional event and retreat space. Come out and visit us, come out and see us. You could stay over, and
Oh, wonderful.
it's a lovely retreat. Yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of curious, what kind of activities are there at the retreat center? I mean, is it, you mentioned the Reiki, but is there various classes? You know, what happens?
Yeah, so you can basically create a custom retreat directly with us. So if you wanted to come out, you know, as an individual or as a couple or a small group, I essentially have my team of facilitators that we can tap into of, oh, great, do we want to do, you know, a breath work, a group breath work session, and then a guided hike, and you know, is like a closing ceremony circle, or we have these kind of different pieces that you can pick and choose and plug in. I obviously do Reiki and like both sessions, but also workshops and trainings. And then I also have a couples intimacy workshop that I offer as well. But really, I have a collection of like a few, you know, a sound healer and, you know, all the things. So you can create your own custom. But we also have people come in and rent it. You know, they come to me and they say, I have a retreat idea. You know, I'm going to do a mindfulness yoga retreat. Can we host it here at your space? So we're able to be, you know, we can kind of do it for you or let you create your own.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that. Something else came to mind. I'm kind of looping around here. My mind is not linear, I don't think. But in the work that you're doing with people, I was curious, do you also incorporate anything like ceremony or rituals that people will do to kind of tap into their spirituality or to, you know, you've mentioned manifest it. I think that's one of the nice things about ceremony and ritual is that it kind of makes physical this intention that you're working at. And I was just curious if you implement anything like that in your work.
Absolutely. That's ritual. I love that concept of, you know, my definition of ritual is literally taking, like drawing the sacred into the mundane, right? Like drawing that spiritual energy or the energy of what you unlocked or what your intention but actually bringing it into the physical through action, through action, really. So absolutely, you know, in my one-on-one healing and coaching containers, it looks like every session they're kind of going home with, I don't want to say homework, but some recommended rituals and actions to work into their life. Or maybe it's, you know, I have kind of a library of resources of various guided meditations or energetic activation, like recorded energetic activations or different things. So I'll sort of pick and choose from that to, or just really intuitively based off what we're working on, give them some real takeaways to use in between sessions. So yeah, absolutely right. That's kind of a lot of the, you know, you can make shifts and change in a session with someone. Like you said, you can, you know, we can touch the highest levels of consciousness. And then what happens? You come back down to earth, right? And you got to go about and live your day. But you made a good point, which was, well, hopefully you bring something with you. And so I think ritual and integration is about what are you bringing with you? And then how is that fitting into then your day to day? And maybe when you wash the dishes, what's going through your mind, right? Or like, how are you making that, whatever, just to give an example. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, you also mentioned working with companies and corporate wellness. And, it's probably my biases and prejudices that I don't see spirit involved in a lot of our businesses. So I'm kind of curious how that comes to be. How does a company or a corporation or a CEO say, I think that we have to do something that's more spiritually aligned?
Well, I mean, we have the data and evidence. We talked about it earlier. The spiritual core is actually core to our mental health. And so if a CEO cares about, how make the retaining his workforce, having them stay healthy, having them not go out sick or leave, right? Like they would be incentivized to try and help those people thrive. Now, to be fair, not all companies are doing this. The clients that I love to work with are those that are purpose-driven, they're values-based, they're innovating in how they can make positive impact in the world within their workforce through their, their products or services, and really sort of practicing what they preach internally as well, right? Like you say you're a B Corp company that wants to make the world better, but if you're not taking care of your people within, then what, are you really holier than thou in the corporate world? So I think working with somebody like me gives the opportunity to really be next level about your human resources, if you will. And, I having spent the first decade of my life in the corporate world, I also have a knack, and this is where I've ended up, finding a lot of success. I have a knack for figuring out the right level to go with a team to push them a little bit and open them up a little bit, but also make it something that is comfortable enough that they don't, that they're, I'm not turning them off. They're not just like shutting down and saying, oh no, what's this woo-woo lady talking about? Like we can meet people where they are and then have an invitation just to open up a little bit. So what that looks like sometimes is talking about, vulnerability with a leadership team, right? And having them open up a little bit in that emotional intelligence bucket. And maybe we start that off with a meditation, a grounding meditation to get them present and focused for then opening up their hearts. And so, it's this kind of between you and I, it's a little bit of tricking them into getting spiritual without coming on a little too heavy or laying it on too thick. But that's where I see we have the opportunity to make change, because if I only worked with people that were already in the spiritual space and already, doing all the things and the meditation and the courses, like what big of an impact can I have? But it's, I find a lot of excitement in the idea of creating ripple effects into the places that they haven't yet been, right? Like waking up these people that they've never heard of Reiki, and I get to be the first Reiki master they've met, and they learn that it's not that scary. Maybe we have a really powerful, maybe they have a very powerful experience in a Reiki meditation, and they suddenly say, whoa, what's this about? Like, this is cool, And so I get to be that kind of person to, yeah, invite them to go a little deeper, invite them to wake up their soul. Whether or not we use the word soul, we don't always. It depends on the group.
Well, it's very encouraging to know that there are businesses that are open to this. Because, like I said, I had this, like this prejudice, the stereotype of businesses that are essentially soulless and treat people as if they're a little bit less than human sometimes. So it's really nice to know that there are people out there that are open to this. And it seems like that's something that can help quite substantially and help people feel less of that soul loss in their work.
Absolutely. The purpose-driven companies I work with, it's so inspiring. There's so many people in those companies that feel so dedicated to the mission of the business, right? Like the company's giving back, it's making positive change, and they're so like genuinely lit up about that. And that's actually a way, talking about spirituality, another way, something that's spiritual, if you will, is like a purpose greater than yourself, right? So that is maybe one of the easiest ways to bring spirituality into the corporate world, corporate America, is by giving people real purpose. And but that has to be I mean, it has to be like authentic and real. You can't fake it. You can't just slap on like an ESG program and say like, oh, we're good for the environment. Like it has to be part of the ethos. And it's those leaders, those entrepreneurs, those CEOs that are creating those companies that are open to this stuff. And quite frankly, you know, this is why I'm so excited about the fact that I get to work with leaders and executives, because when we raise their consciousness, you know, maybe you've heard this term conscious capitalism. It's like if I can raise the consciousness of the executives just a little bit, then they start to lead more consciously and they start to make different decisions about their teams. And they start to maybe even make different decisions about the business decisions and business practices to be a little more ethical, right? And I've seen those ripple effects happen, and it's quite encouraging. And at least I know, you know, it's one small thing I can do that has great ripple effects of impact.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. And I know that not all businesses are horrible. I know that there are some really good people and some really good businesses as well that really care and that have missions beyond just making money.
I think there are more and more. Yeah, there are more and more. It's a little bit where capitalism is headed, that more and more will be that way, I hope.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's definitely hope. Well, I know that we're getting towards the end here, but let me ask you, what do you have coming up in your future here? You know, what are you working on?
Yeah, I'm very excited about a group offering that I'm launching early next year. And it's going to be the first group coaching program. And I'm going to be leading, it's actually for women. So sorry, Nick.
Oh, that's okay.
But if you have any women in your audience who feel called, we're going to be doing a deep dive into our own souls and learning to navigate life through our own intuition and reclaiming our gifts and our strengths and embodying our truest selves. So really, the work that I do with all my clients, but brought into a new container with other women. So I'm very excited about that. So if you're a woman out there listening to this and that calls to you, definitely check it out. I would love to chat with you. But I would also like to offer, I'm trying to think, I would love to give your audience a little something that they can, like a gift that you can have for anybody, whether you're a man or a woman. I have a chakra cleanse meditation and then like an energy cleansing guide, or I have a mindset bundle that's about shifting your mindset to be more empowered. So you tell me, Nick, which one feels best for your audience, and I'll send you the link.
What was the one that you mentioned right after the chakra cleanse, right before
the empowerment mindset? Oh, so that's part of the energy cleanse. So I have energy cleanse kit that's a chakra cleanse, and then there's a little guide that leads you through a 21-day energy cleanse. And it's actually based off what I do with my Reiki level one students, but it's sort of, you can start off with the chakra cleanse meditation, and then you can lead yourself through a 21-day journey through clearing your chakras, which is clearing your energetic system. So I'd be happy to link that, and everybody can download it for free and check it out if they're called to.
Let's do that. Yeah. I've had a few other guests on that have focused on energies and using energy to heal and things like that. So I think that the audience would really appreciate that. So thank you very much for that. And I like that you are doing the women's group. One of the things that I had on the list here is, and this was one of the things that you are able to talk about, is why women need to embrace their cycles instead of living by men for men. And I think that's important. It's important work, especially now. You know, I think it's time for the women to be front and center here, I think, a little bit. You know, the men have bungled it up quite a bit.
Well, you know, honestly, what we need is a balance of the divine feminine and divine masculine. We really don't want a, you know, like feminine superpower either, but because the feminine largely has been suppressed, it's, you know, it's this resurgence happening where that's the focus. But eventually the hope is for them to be in perfect yin and yang.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. And I think things can be much better when we get to that point. So, where can people go to find out more about you and the work you do, and also the retreat center?
So you can find my work at Forward W Grace. That's Forward with Grace, forwardwgrace.com, and at Forward W Grace on Instagram. And then the retreat center is Topanga Canyon Oasis. That's
Okay.
topangacanyonoasis.com and at Topanga Canyon Oasis on Instagram. So pretty
Okay.
easy.
All
Check
right.
us out. I would love, you can send me a DM and tell me you found me on here,
Yeah.
and I'd love to chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Grace, thank you so much for your time. It was really nice to speak with you. You've got very good energy. So I can tell that you're doing good work. So
Thank
thank you
you.
so
That's
much.
only the greatest compliment that I could receive as a energy healer. I appreciate that so deeply. Thank you.
Well,
And same here. I
thank you. Yeah, I just appreciate anyone who's working on healing because the world needs it right now. And we need to heal ourselves to heal everything else that's going on. So anyone who's engaged
Absolutely.
in that sort of work, I applaud. So, all right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for this
Okay.
platform. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. And that's a wrap on episode 174 of Rebel Spirit Radio. Thank you so much for listening or watching if you are part of my YouTube audience. Now you know what's coming up next. All the usual. Sign up for my Patreon, share this with friends and family and on social media too, please, and subscribe to the podcast or follow it on whatever platform you use to listen to or view podcasts. You know the drill. But the thing is, all that is really important. Sharing, subscribing, or following are all free, and they only take a few seconds to do, and they really do help. Right now, putting together this podcast is a labor of love, and I do love it. I'm in the process of making some changes to the podcast and the YouTube channel. It's slow going, but your support will help me speed up the process and ensure that I can continue with the podcast and offer much more content than what I provide now. As I always like to say, I'm here in the Front Range now doing missionary work in regards to religion, spirituality, and ecology, psychedelics, and consciousness, and how all of this can help us heal humanity's relationship with the sacred earth. So if you feel moved by the Rebel Spirit, and you know I sure hope that you do, then please, by all means, help me in my efforts to share the good news. I'm Nick Mather, and you've been listening to or watching Rebel Spirit Radio. Until next time, may you be in peace, may you flourish in all possible ways, and may you continue to nurture your rebel spirit.